helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. In the dystopian future George Orwell imagined in his novel 1984, the party controlled the people. War is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength are examples of the slogans the party used to indoctrinate the people with this idea of doublethink. Not merely the holding of obviously illogical and contradictory ideas is true, doublethink was used to induce fear into the people and thereby control them. As George Orwell noted in the novel, in the end, the party would announce that 2 and 2 made 5, and you would have to believe it. It was inevitable that they should make that claim sooner or later. The logic of their position demanded it. Not merely the validity of experience, but the very existence of external reality was tacitly denied by their philosophy. Sound familiar to anyone? Just take a look at the world around you. The obvious falsehoods that a man can become a woman, that men can get pregnant, that women can have prostates, and physical reality is not sufficient evidence that someone is wrong is not only growing in the progressive and elites in America, but the freedom to question them is quickly moving from unacceptable to illegal. Now, if you can keep your head while the world around you is going crazy, well, then your worldview may just be rooted in reality, facts, and data. All you have to do is remember that 2 + 2 still equals 4. Then stand your ground on those facts and move forward, regardless of the insanity of what's going on around you. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. This is Paul Engel. You've joined the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And today, we're going to take a look at some of the insanity that is going around us. See not only how we can stand on the truth, but how the Constitution helps us and protects our right to do so. So let's start with some of these examples. I mean, obviously, we're going to start with the transgender movement. This idea that, you know, men can be women just because they say so. And that women can be men just because they say so. And just because you feel different. Maybe you don't fit the stereotype. Maybe if you're just feeling a little different, suddenly you're considered transgender. And the whole insanity of people mutilating their bodies to try and get their physical reality to match their mental picture of themselves. I mean, tell me one other condition where you mutilate the physical to support the mental. Where you ignore the reality and pretend to make the physical world match what's in your head. I mean, there's a disease, I don't know what it's called off the top of my head, where people have this urge to remove limbs and body parts. We treat them for a mental disorder. We don't start cutting off body parts. Well, unless apparently those body parts happen to deal with sex. They're part of the reproductive system. Now, a 17-year-old girl recently testified before the California Assembly Committee because she regretted having both of her breasts removed for which she refers to as so-called gender-affirming care. See, from the ages 13 to 16, she thought she was a boy. I don't know why she thought she was a boy. That's not my point. The point was you have a minor child who was physically mutilated because they thought differently. They thought, or possibly were convinced that the girl was actually a boy. Now, there are so many ways we can go here, but today we're focusing on this idea that 2 + 2 equals 4. You see, at age 13, this young lady was told that 2 + 2 equals 5. If you think you're a boy, then you are a boy, and it's really proper for us to mutilate your body, to mutilate the truth, in order to make 2 + 2 equal 5 for you. And now at age 17, as she's dealing with the consequences, not only of her decision as a minor child, but the decision of her parents or guardians to allow this to happen. Not just the surgeries, but the hormone treatments. Now, I'm not saying her parents were unconcerned. You see, her parents, according to the testimony, her parents, when she was younger, took her to a therapist. Except the therapist affirmed her quote-unquote male identity and brushed aside any concerns dealing with the efficacy of hormones, puberty blockers, surgeries. Nope. In fact, her parents, according to her testimony, she goes, quote, "My parents were given the threat of suicide as a reason to move me forward in my transition." Just imagine you're a parent. Your child has some mental concerns. You take them to a therapist who denies reality, affirms a lie, prescribes medication and surgery, brushes aside any concerns that may bring, along with the threat that, you know what, she might just commit suicide if you don't do this for her. So she went through with the surgery. She had an endocrinologist put her on puberty blockers and injectable testosterone. Again, in her testimony, this young lady says, "Despite having a therapist and attending the top surgery class, I really didn't understand all the ramifications of any of the medical decisions I was making. I was incapable of understanding, and it was downplayed consistently." She also said that, "My parents, on the other hand, were pressured to continue my so-called gender journey with the threat of suicide." See, they were being told 2 + 2 = 5, and you will believe it. She said, "I will never be able to breastfeed a child. I have blood clots in my urine. I'm unable to fully empty my bladder. I do not yet know if I'm capable of carrying a child to full term. In fact, even the doctors who put me on puberty blockers and testosterone do not know." This young girl is facing, young woman, she's 17, she is facing a lifetime of challenges and questions based on decisions she made when not only was she not fully informed, she could not consent because she was a minor. Tell me this is not doublethink. The idea that war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Okay, maybe not war and peace, but look what we have. The freedom to decide was effectively taken away from her parents through the coercion of a therapist. And the ignorance of the therapist, of the surgeons, of her endocrinologist, of her doctors, which went on to her ignorance of the consequences of these decisions, is considered strength. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in part in Orwell's 1984. And we are expected not only to say that 2 + 2 = 5, we're expected to believe it. For example, there's the Boulder Valley School District in Boulder, Colorado, now says that transgender students have a right to be addressed by their preferred pronoun. And the intentional or persistent refusal to respect the quote-unquote student's gender identity is a violation of the school's guidelines. Oh, so you no longer have the freedom to speak what you think. You don't have the freedom to think the way you want. If you intentionally or persistently point out that this man, that this boy is a girl, or that this girl is actually a boy, if you actually look at the facts, it's now a violation of the district policies, the district guidelines of the Boulder Valley School District. Now listen, I'm not talking about intentional teasing. I'm not talking about abusive. I'm talking about, listen, I refuse to accept that Steve is now Stacy. Steve has not gone through any transition. Then all of a sudden, Steve shows up in a dress, calls himself Stacy, and wants to walk into the girls' room. I refuse to accept that now is a violation of the district's policies. Now, if you're a young lady that doesn't wish to see male genitalia in the bathroom or the locker room, you want the security and privacy of single-sex bathrooms, that is a violation of the school's policy. You will comply with the state. This is a state school, remember? Quote unquote, public school. You will affirm that 2 + 2 = 5, or else. Well, what about the Colorado teacher? This one in Jefferson County Public School, who underwent disciplinary action for actually pointing out to a student that maybe they should think about what they're doing. Now, this had to do with a transgender student, a female, who wished to be referred to as he, him. Forget the English language all of a sudden. And actually had to do with grades and classes, and the teacher was responding and quite fine. But at one point noted, he said he made some suggestions, and he did so because he was responding to something the student said, as providing information that he thought the student might be helpful. And he noted that the transitioning process has become a recent trend among young people. Oh my God, it's a trend. It isn't the fact. It isn't reality. Well, it is a trend. It is fairly new. It hasn't been around seriously all that long. And by the way, like many trends, it may disappear. He went on his email and says, I typically wouldn't do this, although you did mention that you are using an alternate name and gender outside of your parents' presence, which tells me that this might not be the result of a consensus of agreement between you and them. In any event, please forgive my presumptuousness on my part regarding the issue, but I am a firm believer in making fully informed decisions, especially when they may completely and permanently alter one's life. He went through a formal grievance process for caring about a student, for questioning the validity or the long-term staying power of this insanity that biology doesn't matter, that this girl is suddenly a boy because she says so. But she obviously doesn't say so in front of her parents, because she specifically asked the teacher not to use the he him pronouns in front of the parents. This is a child that needs some help. Because obviously it's not, again, the parents aren't on board with this. But the mere questioning, in fact, part of the discipline was this teacher isn't allowed to use the word trend when it comes to transgenderism anymore. Why? Everything's trend. Right now, transgenderism is trending up. Does that mean it's going to disappear? Maybe yes, maybe no. But that's, again, the English language. No. 2 + 2 = 5. Transgender, if a girl says she's a boy, even if she doesn't tell her parents, you have to affirm it because the state says so. We're living in 1984. And more people are catching on to the misogyny of the transgender movement, especially it being used to destroy women's sports. When you take men with all of the physical, biological advantages in many sports, the greater lung capacity, the greater upper body strength, it's part of the biology, and you simply ignore that and let them compete directly against women. Denying women the chance to compete fairly, a chance at scholarships, the chance at awards. This is hateful to women, ladies and gentlemen. We have a Title IX law. I'm not saying whether it's good or bad, but we created this law that said, listen, women have to have their own sports venues when the physical requirements of the sport give males an unfair advantage for just this reason, so that women would have a chance in many of these sports. And now suddenly, because people say, oh, no, no, I think I'm a girl now, we are wiping that away. And we're only starting to see people point out just how abusive this win, how destructive it is to women's sports and to women's futures. Now, I have to take a break, but I've got some good news for you. During the month of July, and only the month of July, Healthy Cell is giving all my listeners, new and repeat, 50% off their Immune Super Boost. This is a wonderful offer. I use the Immune Super Boost, especially when I'm traveling or other situations where my immune system is under a special attack, extra load. My family uses it. It is wonderful. It's a gel pack. It's easy to use. It's easy to travel. It combines over a dozen supplements into one package designed specifically to give your immune system a boost. And we really need that sometimes. So once again, you get 50% off the Immune Super Boost. All you have to do is go to healthycell.com/outloud, then use the code America50 at checkout. That's America50, and they'll give you 50% off the Immune Super Boost. So once again, that's healthycell.com/outloud. That tells you to listen to America Out Loud. Then use the code America50 at checkout, and they will give you 50% off the Immune Super Boost in your order. Give it a try. I think you'll like it, and use it as much as I do.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the Immune Super Boost that I need. Go to healthycell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code America50 for 50% off any order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HealthyCell, and use code America50 for 50% off.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Here you've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're talking about doublethink. The concept from 1984 that you can hold illogical and irrational things in your head, but that, yes, 2 + 2 still equals 4. We just need to learn to recognize that. In the first segment, we dealt with the transgender movement and this idea that, you know, men are women because they think so, or women are men because they think so, and biology makes no difference, and facts and reality and data make no difference. It's all how people feel and just how narcissistic that is and the damage that brings. But it's not simply the transgender movement that's bringing where we see this. We spent the last two and a half years dealing with the cognitive dissonance, another big fancy word for this, of holding contradictory information in our head. For example, a recent study by a British medical journal finds that there's a large absolute risk increase for serious adverse effects and a small decrease of COVID hospitalizations using the mRNA vaccines in kids. They said that COVID death rates under 20 is the same as flying from London to New York City. Now, I've been pointing this out for, probably almost 2 years now. The death and hospitalization rate amongst children is extremely small. If COVID is a problem, it's not among the young people, it's among the old and the infirm. But yet we still have this push. Not only has the FDA released an emergency use authorization on a risky, untested drug. It's not a vaccine, it's a drug. It's gene therapy. They've released an emergency use authorization for children as young as 6 months. Even though the CDC's own data shows that somewhere around February, they believe there were 75% of minors already had natural immunity. But yet we have this EUA. And we're having pressure, which you're going to see in a minute, to vaccinate children 6 months to 5 years old. Even though there is absolutely no data on earth that proves that conclusion. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of a UC San Francisco epidemiologist and clinical trial specialist. See, he analyzes this, Vinay Prasad. He analyzed the evidence considered by the FDA and the CDC advisory committees. And he emphasized the immeasurable, confounding problems inherent in such data sets. He even called out lies and exaggerations by federal officials and public health pundits to push this insane agenda. Again, there is no data on earth that a quote-unquote vaccine will lower the risk of severe disease or death in children under 5. And when we talk about lies and exaggerations, the CDC, the author of the CDC study that gave us the death rates, has already changed it. They've corrected the study because their data was false. Exaggerated. See, the paper stated that at least 1,433 deaths primarily attributed to COVID-19 had occurred among those 19 and younger in the United States, but the actual number was 1,088. A 40% increase? But just think of how many potentially dangerous policies people have put in place, how many decisions parents have made based on this incorrect data, this exaggerated data. And while we're at it, there's a preprint out from the medical journal Lancet, which really has destroyed their reputation over the last couple years, claiming that tens of millions of lives have been saved by these vaccines. Well, again, as I said, Lancet has really stepped in it recently. So I was reading an interesting article where somebody said, let's take a look at the actual data. Now, the title of this study says this was a mathematical model. This is an opinion piece. So understand, a mathematical model, I don't want to get too wonky on it, but a model is just a mathematical algorithm. And these types of models often have tuning factors. Now, the idea is the tuning factor is supposed to adjust it so that the outcome of the model matches reality on a test set. Rather, it's being used to manipulate the data to get the outcome that is wanted. All we have to do is look at the existing COVID-19 data, see how wrong they are to understand this stuff is garbage. Well, for example, you cannot prove a counterfactual. You cannot prove what did not happen. So there's problem number one. So how do they know how many deaths would have been? How do they know tens of millions of people who did not die would have died if they didn't die? Compare that to the fact that studies of actual data showing quote-unquote excessive deaths higher than predicted per year have been up since vaccines have come out. They ignore factors like natural immunity, the severity of the disease, the different variants. They ignore a lot of data. They use apparently a fair amount of unreliable data. But why do they do this? Well, you see, they want you to believe that, well, peace is freedom, or war is peace, freedom is slavery. They want you to believe that ignorance is strength. They want to scare you into doing what they want you to do. Now, since most people don't have the expertise to analyze this data, we depend on experts. But what happens when the experts have proven themselves wrong over and over and over again? That's what I want to know. You see, when I'm looking for data, I go to sources that have historically been accurate. I specifically sought out a doctor whose data has consistently been accurate, and she has advised my wife and I how to proceed during the scamdemic right up through today. But again, as we start looking for the data, recently the CDC updated their guidance that says, listen, children as young as 6 months, they can not only can they receive the COVID-19 injection, they can get it at the same day they're getting other routine vaccines. There's just one problem. Ask your doctor for the safety studies that were conducted by the vaccine manufacturers of mixing these vaccinations, these injections. There isn't any. There isn't any. Oh, so we'll just experiment on your children. We haven't done any studies. We don't know if adding this to the existing cocktail of vaccines that your child receives at the same time will have any impact, good or bad. Because, again, there's no data that shows that the COVID-19 makes any significant difference in children under 5. We don't know if it adds any danger if it's combined with other vaccinations. But go ahead. Just experiment on your children. And don't forget, the federal government seems to claim that if there is harm, you can't sue the manufacturers. I say claim to because that law is invalid. It's a blatant violation of the First Amendment. It denies you the right to seek redress of grievance. But in the face of all of this data, in the face of all these facts, the lack of data about the safety of the vaccine, the lack of data about the effectiveness of the vaccine under 5, the lack of data about the combining COVID with others, the obvious misinformation coming out of both the federal government and the form of the CDC inflating their numbers, to the claim that tens of millions, with no data behind it, good data behind it, the tens of millions of people were saved. We still have the CDC launching a campaign to push doctors, to shove doctors, to recommend doctors vaccinate children under 5. Quote unquote, vaccinate. Give them the jab. Even though the CDC's own data says at least 75% of them have natural immunity already. See, this is the, 2 + 2 = 5, and you'll believe it. The vaccine saves lives. Forget the data. The vaccine is needed for children. Forget the data. Whatever you do, stick this gene therapy into the arms of our youngest children. And if anything goes wrong, well, we're going to wipe our hands of it. It's not our fault. You can't come after us. It was an emergency, even though young children aren't dying from it. Do you see the doublethink? Do you see the pressure that's being used to push people in a certain direction, to hold contradictory pieces of information in their head at the same time? Doublethink. No. You don't need informed consent. We'll tell you what you need to do. Do it. We call it informed because we told you to do it. That's informed consent in their mind. This is the dystopian future that Orwell warned us about. We are living in it. Okay, it took a couple extra decades, right? It took four extra decades to get here. But he saw it coming. We have the governmental systems that create illegal agencies whose job is supposed to be tracking the safety and efficacy of these disease of these vaccines and other drugs that are supposed to track the impact of diseases. And they are promoting a political agenda rather than a medical one. Because I've yet to see, now, I'm not saying there aren't cases where these shots are the right thing to do. Children that have other risk factors, serious illnesses, again, serious risk factors, maybe this makes sense. Older people, maybe it makes sense. People with other complicating factors, diabetes, severe obesity, maybe. You know, with all the people going crazy because the Supreme Court said, listen, we are not going to force abortions on this nation. That should be done by the people and their elected representatives. Claiming, you know, you keep your hands off my body. Here we have the same governmental official saying, no, we're going to pressure you to do this, even though there's no evidence. We're going to take the decision out of away from the patient and the doctor. Oh, abortion should be between the mother and the doctor, but not an experimental drug. That's the doublethink. That's this idea of the situational truth. Your truth, my truth. No. Truth is truth. You have your opinion, and I have my opinion, but truth is truth. And here's the truth as best as I've found so far. Don't trust the government when it says this is safe. Don't trust the government when it says these medical procedures are effective. Because their history, the facts and data, don't support it. Look them right in the eye and says, nope, 2 + 2 still equals 4. I'm not going to fall for it. And just as further evidence that this is not simply a COVID thing, the CDC recently updated their estimation, what they think the influenza vaccine's efficacy is going to be. How effective is the flu vaccine? Now, for decades, every winter, every fall, you get hammered. Get your flu shot. Doctors push it. Pharmacies push. Everybody's pushing. Get your flu shot. Now, personally, I refuse. You know why? I don't want the flu. Now, thankfully, I haven't had the flu. But there's this drumbeat. Well, you must assume the flu shot's effective, isn't it? Well, listen, hey, the CDC, they have finally got their act together. They're saying this year, they estimate that flu vaccine they've been pushing for decades, well, it's got a true improvement. It's now moderately effective. Yeah, I said moderately. It's now up to 35% effective, they think. What was it before? If it's up to moderate, what was it before? Negligible. See, from 2021 to 2022, the seasonal influenza vaccine was only estimated to be 16% effective. Okay, those are just the last couple of years. Well, guess what? They say that the flu vaccine averages between 40 and 60% effective. It's actually shown to be only 30 to 40% effective. That's not even the flip of a coin, folks. But they have been promoting this and pushing it directly and through the medical system, the healthcare system, for you to take a vaccine they know is at best moderately effective. And you're going to trust them to put an experimental drug in your child's arm. I wouldn't. Again, it's not my decision. My daughter's an adult. But if it were my decision, I wouldn't do it. I have friends that have a newborn. She's a few months old. And if they asked me, I'd recommend they don't do it. And I'd show them the data. Of course, they have to make the decision because I believe in a free country. But what I don't believe is in a country that uses doublespeak, doublethink, and fear to manipulate you into doing what the government wants, regardless of the impact on you. Now, I have to take another break, but before I do, please make America Out Loud your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. You can listen to the Constitution Study or any of the other programs, all of which have wonderful articles, videos, podcasts, stories, things you can use to learn about the world around you, to be informed so that you can make logical, rational decisions to live not as a subject, not as a slave, but as a free citizen of your state and these United States.
How the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. That's right, you've joined the Constitution Study. We are here. We are learning about this double think, the use of language and thought to force people into a mold, whether they want it or not. Now, I'm sure all of you have heard the saying, tell a lie often enough and it becomes the truth. Well, not exactly true. It doesn't become the truth, but people think it's the truth. Another term for it is gaslighting. Tell a lie, tell it often, tell it proudly and forcefully, and eventually people will believe you. This is the idea of doublespeak that we were talking about, the doublethink, right? 2 + 2 = 5. 2 + 2 = 5 because the party says 2 + 2 = 5. And it's said so oftenly and so fervently that you eventually not only believe it, but you believe it has to be true. Now, we've seen this going on for years here in America. Its most recent form has been the removal, the depersoning of many of our founding fathers. I experienced this recently when I quoted Abraham Lincoln in one of my articles, and I got numerous comments and emails about how evil Abraham Lincoln was. My question to them was always, does that mean his statement wasn't true? See, the statement I quoted said, "The people are the rightful masters of both Congresses and courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the people who pervert the Constitution." Is that false simply because Lincoln said it? Does the Emancipation Proclamation, does that not mean anything about his character because there were other things you found evil? That's just an example, but how often we've watched statues be removed because, well, they're inconveniently reminders now. I mean, it all started with the Confederate flag, the Confederate battle flag, to be specific. But as predicted, it didn't stop there. They started removing statues of Robert E. Lee. Okay. They removed a statue depicting a soldier from Appomattox. But he said, it's not going to stop there. Many people said, it's not going to stop there. More and more Confederate monuments came down. Okay, it's not going to start. It's not going to stop there. They took down a statue of Jefferson Davis in Virginia. Not going to stop there. Then it was like, oh, Christopher Columbus. They started taking down statues of Christopher Columbus, Ponce de Leon. Oh, Paul, that's only because, you know, the Confederacy was racist and Columbus and Ponce de Leon, they killed all the natives and all that. They went after Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and others. Francis Scott Key, the man who wrote the Star-Spangled Banner, his statue came down. Ulysses S. Grant, the man who fought in the Civil War to stop slavery, his statue was taken down. And the idea of depersonalizing people, removing people that we find an inconvenient reminder of our past, statues of, again, Andrew Jackson, a Lincoln Emancipation statue. These were either defaced or taken down. Even a statue of Frederick Douglass was ripped off of its pedestal. This idea that we cannot be reminded of the past, good or bad, apparently. If somebody disagrees with it, well, we got to take it down. Well, where does this go? See, the idea is if you remove the past, we're not reminded of it. The problem is if you remove the past, then we don't learn from it. So I saw this tweet. This has been brought up, and I'm like, oh, isn't that interesting? See, ABC's Good Morning America tweeted a congratulations to the latest Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Okay, I have no problem with that. But I do have a problem with the fact that she was, according to the Good Morning America, she is the first Black Supreme Court Justice in U.S. history. I guess they forgot Clarence Thomas. I guess they forgot Thurgood Marshall. I guess these were inconvenient reminders because they have an agenda. They want you to think, oh, no, no. See, we did wonderful things because we put this particular justice in place. Why this justice? Now, did Good Morning America make just a really stupid mistake when they tweeted that she was the first? Now, she's the first Black female justice, the first Black woman justice. Maybe they just made a mistake there. But think about recent history. How many people have called? You've had people calling for the assassination of Justice Thomas. He's been called an Uncle Tom, an Oreo, and all sorts of names for his entire career on the bench. And now you have not only him, but Justice Thurgood Marshall, who was actually the first Black justice to serve on the court way back in 1967. In fact, Justice Clarence Thomas filled Justice Marshall's seat back in 1993. There has been a Black justice on the Supreme Court since 1967. But you see, if you can do double think, if you can tell a lie often enough, maybe people will believe it. I will give the possibility that Good Morning America simply made a mistake. They meant to say the first black woman justice, but then again, maybe they had a problem with woman. Because remember, even Justice Jackson, Brown Jackson, cannot define what a woman is because she said she's not a biologist. Does that mean that she's now a black male justice? That Marshall and Thomas are not really black justices because, well, we aren't biologists. We can't figure it out for ourselves. It's the danger of doublespeak. And of course, it doesn't just stop with potential misspeaking. Students at George Washington University launched a petition. They wanted the university to revoke Justice Thomas's teaching position at their law school. Now, he has been lecturing at George Washington University since 2011, but apparently the students didn't like some of his recent opinions, so they want him fired. They want him removed. You will comply with our understanding or you will be punished. See, it's not just government. It's not just the media. It's actually everyday people that are succumbing to this idea that just because they say it's true, it must be true, and somehow the world will magically change around us. Reality will change so that each and every one of us has the exact perfect conditions that we think are right. If you think that 2 plus 2 is 5, the world will magically change to make 2 plus 2 equal 5. Now the question is, what can we the people do? How do you stand up to this mess? Well, you start by standing up. Remember Captain John Parker at the Battle of Lexington? Stand your ground. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Men cannot be women. And with extremely rare exceptions, the difference is obvious. And by extremely, I mean fractions of a fraction of a percent. Just because you say you're a woman doesn't make you a woman. Even surgery, hormones, and puberty blockers don't change the fact of whether you have two X chromosomes or an XY chromosome. That is the fact. That is the truth. Inconvenient though it may be to your mental derangement. See, I'm going to stand up and say that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, if you ask me to use a different pronoun, depending on the situation and how you ask, I may comply, I may not. See, I'm also believe in the English language. And the problem is when you muddle the English language, when you come up with nonsense such as war is peace and freedom is slavery and ignorance is strength, we no longer are able to communicate. Paul, you're being hyperbolic. Oh, am I? If I tell you that, the person you want to talk to is the woman in the other room, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman. And you walk in and all you see is a room full of guys. I don't mean you can't see a woman. I mean, there is no woman in there. There are a bunch of men. They are obviously men. Beards, arm hair, shirts off, no breasts. How am I supposed to tell you who that is? How am I supposed to communicate? If I tell you that, imagine reporting a crime to the police. Yes, a 6-foot white man attacked me. And they're looking for white men, but guess what? It was actually a black woman. If we lose the language, we lose the ability to communicate. Well, we're talking about personal pronouns. Same thing. If I'm writing an article and I'm talking about a man and I keep referring to them as she, it gets confusing. If I refuse to a single person as they, the language makes no sense. But yet there are those out there that demand that the English language rewrite itself and that the entire world reconform itself because that's what they want. It is the ultimate in narcissism to believe that the world will change because you feel like it. Now again, if I'm in a personal situation, if someone comes up and says, please, would you refer to me with this pronoun if it's part of the English language? If I would consider it. If someone comes up and demands they use a pronoun, I ain't doing it. On a part of principle. So I'm not the one being rude. They are. They're demanding I speak a certain way. It's a violation of my right to freedom of speech and freedom of thought. I refuse. Now, if someone says please and is polite and is requesting, and I slip up and they go, excuse me, would you? And they're polite about it. I might continue. I might. If they get all bent out of shape and threaten my job for it. Well, I can't threaten my job. I work for myself. They threaten a position. They threaten my reputation. I ain't doing it. If we want truth to still mean something, we must stand for the truth. Even when the world around you is losing their ever-loving minds. And here's the real interesting thing. At least this has been my experience. If you stand for the truth, when the entire world is telling you that 2 + 2 = 5, you will encounter two types of people. There are those that will come and call you every vile name they can think of. When I questioned the effectiveness of masks and of the vaccines, I was called a hater. I was told, I wanted to kill grandma. I was called all sorts of things. Didn't matter. I stood on the truth. And guess what? Eventually, I was proven correct, at least by facts and data. But there are still people who refuse to follow it. That's okay. They still call me names because I'm standing on data that they don't like. Oh, well. But I also attracted people who liked hearing the truth. It was a ray of sunshine on a cloudy day to say, wait a second, I'm not alone. There are other people that recognize that 2 + 2 = 4. That if you have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, 99.99999% chance you're a man or a boy. And they get it. We attract each other and we share information and we support each other and we help each other. I'm not saying that standing for the truth is easy. What I am saying is it's important. It's important for your own sanity, but it's important for the future of your neighborhood, your city, society as a whole. If we allow the dystopian doublethink to predominate the world, to control the world, to control how people think, if we allow the party, whatever that group be, to announce that 2 + 2 = 5 and you are forced to believe it, then not only does logic disappear, does reason disappear, does science disappear, so does freedom. If we become enslaved by the forceful but trendy utterances of any group, we are no longer free. If you are not allowed to speak differently, think differently, then you are no longer free. As Benjamin Franklin wrote, as when he was writing A Silence Do Good, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know. If you wish to have wisdom, there must be freedom of thought. There must be contradictory ideas that are tested and challenged to seek the truth. And if you want liberty. There must be freedom of speech. You cannot have public liberty if you're not allowed to speak your mind. And the only bounds that should be allowed is that you do not hurt nor control another. I don't mean hurt their feelings. I mean physically cause them harm. You can't lie. You can't defame. You can't perjure. And you certainly can't control what other people say. And if that doesn't prove to you just how tyrannical those who are creating these speech codes are, I don't know what will. Now, hopefully you found not just this episode, but all the episodes of the Constitution Study interesting enough to share. Remind people, weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network, you can hear the Constitution Study. You can listen on our media player or our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. You can also listen on our podcast. They usually come out a day or two after the broadcast. Find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, anywhere you find your podcast. Be sure, if you do, though, subscribe and rate the show. Help other people find us. You can find all the links on the homepage at America Out Loud. And you can join me as we spread the blessings of liberty from sea to shining sea and as far as the internet can reach.